Homeward is committed to partnering with parents and equipping you with the resources you need to raise your kids to become responsible adults. And Steadfast Companies, a leading real estate investment company, is proud to partner with Homeward to bring you the following podcast presentation.
I don't know, maybe the church isn't real good at creating an environment, but we need to be that place where we are all dysfunctional. And we all need to be coming in and say, Houston, we have a problem. And it's okay to say you have a problem. And it's okay to say you need help. That is the first step. And to realize that we are all broken. We are all sinners who fall short of the glory of God. And there is no such thing as a perfect family or a perfect household. And that's why we come to God and come to His Word, is because we are seeking His assistance and saying, what can we do to become more functional in the midst of our dysfunction?
It's so important for us as parents to instill a sense of spiritual value and legacy in the lives of our kids. Problem is, too many of us as parents think, oh man, our spiritual lives are so messed up. How could we be the ones to set the tone for our kids when it comes to spiritual life? Well, on today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast, parenting and family expert Dr. Jim Burns is joined in studio by author and pastor Mark Holman, and we're going to talk about filling your home with faith. From the studios of the Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University, so glad you tuned in to today's edition of the Homeward Broadcast. Streaming audio at homeward.com, podcasting through iTunes, and more on how you can become a podcaster along with us in just a moment. Now here's Dr. Jim Burns with today's program. Welcome to Homeward. I'm Jim Burns, and very excited today. In fact, I've been waiting for this day for a long time. Mark Holman is with us, and we're talking about God's home makeover. He's written a great book called Faith Begins at Home, and I have told many people, and I tell this to you with all sincerity, that I believe that Mark is being used by God in a great way to help transform the way we do church and the way we do our own spiritual life within our family. It's just a privilege to have him with us. He's a consultant, a speaker, he's a trainer, he's an author. He's currently serving as the senior pastor of Ventura Missionary Church in California. He and his wife, Maria, have been married for over 18 years, and they make their home here in Southern California, and they have one daughter who just turned 13. Welcome to our program.
Thank you, Jim. It's great to be with you.
Well, it is great to be with you, and I, as I said, I gave you the kudos here at the beginning, but I just appreciate all that you do for family ministry. I told my wife the other day when I was reading the book, she says, hey, tell me about that book. And I said, actually, I think we could finish each other's sentences because you just make so much sense to me. Now, 13 years ago, you stood in the delivery room. You were watching your daughter being born, and you realized that you already needed help as a parent. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, I tell you, here it was. First of all, I was trying to get my wife to get her to deliver our daughter before Halloween. So we were on the 30th, and then I found out that that's not good coaching, is to try to tell your wife what to do in the last minute.
Hey, that's just not good marriage either.
No, it's wrong in all sorts of ways,
right.
But which my wife reminds me of daily.
Sure.
And but you know, she was born on just barely into Halloween, 12:13 a.m., and she came into this world, and instantly, I'd been my wife's coach, you know, so I was up at my wife's side coaching her, and then they whisk my daughter off to the other side of the room, and I am just, and so my daughter's crying, and she's over in the other side of the room, and my wife's still moaning and groaning in this side, and I was kind of caught in the middle, like, which way do I go? Do I go to my wife's side to be with her? Do I now go to my new daughter's side and get over there, make sure she's okay? And I was just, I remember just in the middle of that, standing there going, what do I do? And I already, you know, 15 seconds into being a parent, I'm already lost, not knowing what to do. And I remember just kind of looking up, and then I just heard the voice of God, sounded a lot like my wife. And she just instantly just said, get over and make sure Malin's okay. And
yeah.
So then I went over there, and it's been, but you know, it was for me, that moment where you go, boy, oh boy, I really have no training in how to do this,
right.
And I'm going to need help.
You know, it's interesting because a lot of us don't. You gave a sermon once called The Functional Dysfunctional Family, and I love that. And in reality, every family is a bit dysfunctional, isn't it?
I haven't run into a family that there is no such thing as a perfect family. And we have to be honest about that and just say it's, but it's about being functional in the midst of our dysfunction.
Yeah. And when you're talking about, you know, training, we really do need training. I remember the same thing with us. We actually adopted our first child, Christy. We'd been unable to have children. And I remember bringing Christy home. She was 2 days old. And we honestly didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to change a diaper and, you know, just these basic things. But we're still in that process, even as our children are older. You know, you're talking about the dysfunctional family, and dysfunctional just simply kind of means broken. You grew up in a home that actually looked very functional. I mean, you grew up in a Christian camping situation, and on the surface, it actually looked very functional. But there were some issues even within your family. Now, I know you have a great relationship, mom, dad, but the truth is that there were really some behind-the-scenes thing going on even as you were growing up, wasn't there?
Yeah, and that was one of those that, you know, I look back on, and I saw it. I lived it. Here, my dad was his camp director, out in front of kids, hundreds of kids every week, out in front of camp counselors. And I mean, I looked up to my dad, still always did. My dad was my idol. And yet my dad battled alcoholism. And so he would come home a lot of times on the weekends or different evenings. And no one knew it. He would just come home and he'd just start drinking slowly until he would essentially pass out. And it became an issue more towards my teenage years, where if I wanted to have a friend over and my mom would say I couldn't, and I would wonder why, and I'd get mad, and it would usually be because she was trying to protect that so that no one would see that with my dad. And so it created this kind of, you know, I loved him, loved who he was when he was up in front and how he led and how he led people to Jesus and just who he was, but yet he battled, and we battled as a family what that was. And it was when I went off to college that it got, and I was the youngest of three kids, and so I was the baby of the family, and when I went off to college, that was a time where it kind of hit its climax and it got worse. And I was the one that came home, and I'll never forget Mom just being in tears, and my two sisters and I had decided that was it, and I was the one that had to look Dad in the eyes and say, Dad, this is it. You have to make a decision here. It's either you go in for help. You've tried, and I watched him try many times, and he would go months and not drink for stretches of times, and we would think, okay, it's broken, and then he'd broken through, but then he'd start again, and that cycle went on for years, and this was a time where I had to look him in the eyes and say, Dad, you have a choice. Either you check yourself in to treatment, you tell the board of directors, you check yourself in for treatment, or we're taking Mom, and we're going to pull her out of this environment, because it's just, and it was, my dad, you know, I think he was just so broken and humbled at that time that he was going actually in for back surgery at the time, and he decided that he'd go straight from that right into a treatment program. And through that, they actually found for the first time that he actually had an issue with anxiety, and they had a new medication that was out for anxiety. And the combination of getting on that medication and the treatment program, he was finally able, and he never drank again. So we had about 19 years after that.
Yeah, isn't that an incredible story, actually? And it's actually a very similar story to my story. You said that the first step in any good family makeover, and we all need a makeover, is actually, in many ways, kind of the first step to the recovery movement. You have to admit your need, and that's exactly what your dad did. But there's a lot of families who need to say, we need help.
Yeah, and you know, and that's, I don't know, maybe the church isn't real good at creating an environment, but we need to be that place where we are all dysfunctional, and we all need to be coming in and say, it's Houston, we have a problem, and it's okay to say you have a problem, and it's okay to say you need help. That is the first step, and to realize that we are all broken, we are all sinners who fall short of the glory of God, and there is no such thing as a perfect family or a perfect household, and that's why we come to God and come to His Word, is because we are seeking His assistance and saying, what can we do to become more functional in the midst of our dysfunction.
I think a lot of people are saying, okay, you're describing my family. I mean, we're dysfunctional and we want to be more functional. We actually want our kids to grow in faith and we kind of don't know what to do. We want to really decide to live God's way as opposed to the world's way. What are some good first steps?
Well, usually people don't even, what I'm seeing is, it's not that people don't want this. They want, what I'm seeing a lot of parents today, Jim, you probably are too, is that they want to be better parents and they have a better household than the household they grew up in. And they're saying, I don't, and that's why they're turning to Oprah and Dr. Phil and why all these shows are right. So popular, which I think he's just Dr. Common Sense, to be honest. But I think we have something that they need. The problem is we've lost the voice. Most people don't even think of the church as a resource that could actually help them. And then it's just a matter of getting back to the basics and saying, how do we do this again? What does faith life in the home look like? Because what we kind of fell into the routine is, oh, if we want faith, we drop our kids off at church and they'll teach it to them. But we didn't realize it was a lifestyle that we have to live 24/7. And we as the church also haven't done a good job of teaching people how to do that. And it's back to a basics from everything, from just talking about God 24/7 again, having open communication about what are you wrestling with? And I've got a teenager now. What is she wrestling with in her life? And keeping communication open and praying, continuing to pray every day, even though she's a teenager, something we started back when she was young and have continued all the way to this day. It's getting back to some of these basics, but seeing that the home is that primary place where faith nurture, faith talk, where prayer, where even reading scripture, it has to happen there. And not just be a one-hour fix that you're trying to get at church, or you're trying to get some church program to magically fix your family. It's not going to happen in a one-hour program.
No, and fascinating enough, and we're going to talk about this after the break, is that parents are the most significant spiritual influencers.
Valuable insight from Dr. Jim Burns here on the Homeward broadcast today as you're listening to his conversation with Mark Holman, who is the author of the book Building Faith at Home. And we're talking about filling your home with faith here on the Homeward broadcast. Broadcasting as always from the studios at the Homeward Center for Youth and Family on the campus of Azusa Pacific University. And if you want to learn more about APU's programs, their master's school, they've got graduate degree programs in youth and family ministry and also an excellent school of theology. You can learn more about APU when you go to homeward.com. But as we're having this conversation today here on the Homeward broadcast, don't forget mom and dad. Remember and actually put in practice the fact that you are the most significant spiritual influencer of your child, and you are the one that they're looking to. Whether they're actually coming to you and saying, hey, mom, dad, will you show me the ways of faith? They're watching what you're doing, and if you're looking for ways to model that faith at home, I want to recommend a resource from Dr. Jim Burns called Faith Conversations for Families that will help you remember that just about any opportunity in your family is going to be a teachable moment when it comes to passing on your faith in Jesus Christ. And if you'd like to learn more about ordering a copy of Jim's book called Faith Conversations for Families, you want to visit our online resource center at homeward.com.
I'm Jim Burns with today's Homeward Snapshot.
Oh man, it's too early. Why can't I get sick in the afternoon?
Heather?
What? Oh, hi, Dad. I didn't mean to interrupt your reading.
No. That's okay. Are you sick?
Yeah, my throat's on fire, and I've got a history final today.
Oh, well, not to worry. Let's get you something for that sore throat.
Thanks. Boy, you really startled me, Dad. I forgot you'd already be up.
Oh, yeah. This is the best time of day for me to do my devotions.
At 5:16 a.m. Dad, you're amazing.
Jesus made his alone time with God an absolute priority. The Gospel of Mark says that very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a lonely place, and Jesus prayed. Well, let me ask the obvious. If Jesus, the Son of God, thought it worthwhile to clear his calendar to pray, wouldn't it be wise to do the same? Well, to download a free copy of my tip sheet called Why Your Faith Matters to Your Kids, go to homeward.com. I'm Jim Burns. Welcome back. I'm Jim Burns. Great conversation today. You know, one of the things that happens at Homeward is people will sign up for certain things on our website at homeward.com, and then they can actually fill out a questionnaire. And in that questionnaire, they can talk about, you know, their needs and what their hopes are and what their priorities are. And you know what's interesting? For the last 31 months, it's been to build a legacy of faith in my family. And that surprises me, and yet it shouldn't surprise me because I know that's what your heart is and that's what we're talking about today, exactly that deal. You know, the home is the primary place where our children's faith should be nurtured, and we have just got to understand that. And it was interesting. Mark, you have a youth ministry background, as I do, and I remember in your book you were talking about looking at a study, and you thought this study was going to show how important youth ministry was and how important children's ministry was, but actually the study surprised you, didn't it? What did it say?
I got taken so hook, line, and sinker. We were asked to be a part of this study that was going to reveal why do our kids have faith, and they wanted to find out why, because you see how those some kids stick with their faith all the way through, and then even as young adults still have that faith today, and they wanted to know why is it that some kids have the faith that they do. So they surveyed, our kids were even surveyed, and I'm thinking, they want to know why my kids have faith, and I was so certain it was me, because I'm going on the retreats, the camps, the lock-ins, I'm leading them in music, I'm leading them in games, I'm leading them to Jesus. I mean, I thought it was totally me was the reason why. And when we got that survey back, and I was on my way to a youth committee meeting, which were my bosses, and I didn't even open because it said I got this envelope and I out of my mail slot and it said survey results inside. And I'm on my way to this youth committee meeting. I'm thinking, boy, what perfect timing is this? We're going to get these results as I'm going to the youth committee, and they're my bosses. How great is this? So I'm thinking there is a God. The timing on this is perfect. I get to the youth committee meeting. I hadn't even opened the envelope before I got there, so you probably know where this is headed. And I open this, and it says the results are, the number one reason why kids have faith is mom. Number two reason, I mean, I couldn't really have an issue with mom, because there's a part of me that thought, well, let's just give it up for mom. Well done, mom. Good for you, mom. Let's give a little golf clap for mom. But can we just move on to number two, which will surely be me. And number two was dad. And now that one, I was like, how can dad be more influential than me? He's not even here. He doesn't go into retreats. He doesn't even drop the kids off. I mean, how can dad be more influential? Then number three was pastor, but it didn't say youth pastor. And I'm thinking, that senior pastor, that guy, I mean, he's so disconnected and irrelevant. Well, I can't say much
and
more.
Now you are
I'm one.
One
of those, so I can't say that. And then it went from there to grandparent. And then it went into some of the programs of Sunday school and youth groups and retreats. And youth pastor was way down, like 8 or 9 on the list. And I remember when I got back to my office, that was my Saul to Paul moment. That's when I got, you know, hit with the lightning bolt. And I studied that and I realized for the first time, mom and dad were 2 to 3 times more influential than any church program. And which means what happens in a home is 2 to 3 times more influential than what happens at church. And I was spending all my time, energy and resources on focusing on what we do at church. And I wasn't spending any of my time, energy or resources, equipping the home to be the primary place where faith is nurtured. And that's when God changed me and made me more of a faith at home focused leader.
You know, it's fascinating. And I love the phrase that you use, faith at home. And it's fascinating because really the Orthodox Jews still do that. And they did it during the days of Jesus. You know, you mentioned in your book oftentimes the Shema, Deuteronomy 6:4-9, where it basically says, you know, there is one God. Love the Lord with all of your heart, mind, body, and soul. Impress this on your children. And you talk about the word impress as kind of a stick-to-itive faith. So that means we've got to do it in the home. And when I was in Israel a while ago, I was peeking in homes. It happened to be over the Passover. And it was the parents who were kind of doing these rituals and doing the teaching. It wasn't necessarily the synagogue. Now, what you see is you see that the primary place should be the home. It doesn't mean that you take away Sunday school and youth group and things like that, but that the primary place would be the home. But a lot of parents say, fine, but I am totally ill-equipped. Mm-hmm. What do I do?
And that's exactly right. And partly what I want to say to those parents is, that's our fault, the church. We blew it.
Right.
Because we were focused on what was happening up at church. We're sitting there saying, just get your kids to us. Just give them to me. I'm the youth pastor. I know how to do it. I'm the expert. Oh, we blew it. And we forgot that the home is the primary place where faith is to be nurtured. And it says, love the Lord your God in that Shema. It says, it starts with you. You need to love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your strength, before it says, impress this on your children. In other words, you can't pass something on to your kids that you don't have yourself. And we are trying to, if we're trying to raise the next generation of faithful followers, what's going to impress them? What's going to impress them is not the youth pastor's faith. They expect the youth pastor to have faith. What's going to impress them is whether mom and dad's faith sticks, whether in good times and in bad. What's going to impress them is whether it's being lived out at home. And what we're seeing today is, unfortunately, they're not real impressed, and they're growing up in a hypocritical environment where it's being, we act one way, behave one way at church, and then live a completely different way at home, and they're not impressed with that.
Well, you're right. And yet, I would say a lot of us just have a poor self-image because we say, you know what, we're not doing this all well. You know, the family is a mess. And so when you're saying things like, pray with your family, we take the responsibility, they're saying, gosh, you know, I can't do that because they see me at my worst. But yet, you're also saying that God isn't intimidated by this kind of a messy situation.
Never has been. And it's not. And that's what I love about our God, is he makes it easy. And we have, unfortunately, and that's been some of the fun of kind of working through this in my own church, is it's not that hard to get back to these basics. It's so easy to teach parents how to bless in the home again and to reestablish prayer in the home again and give them 14 different ways to pray with their kids. But what I'm amazed by, Jim, is how many people don't even know how to do mealtime prayer anymore. Stuff that you and I probably grew up with as being normal, most pastors don't realize that is not the norm. For the majority of parents today, they're saying, I did not grow up in a household that prayed at mealtime. So unless someone's going to tell me how to do that, this idea of prayer in the home, you're speaking over my head, Pastor. Yeah. I have no clue what you're talking about.
I remember a story that you told about a dad who contacted you, dad who was a real leader in your church, and he was having trouble with his 15-year-old, not horrible, horrible trouble. But, you know, he was a strong church leader, and you ask a single, simple question, you know, have you prayed with Andrea about this? And that kind of rocked his world. Tell us that story.
Yeah, he was, I mean, strong leader on one of our church boards. His daughter was involved in our youth program. She was the leader of her small group. And it was so surprising when I got his call telling me, could you come over? We're having troubles. And he just walked me through the problems he was having with her. And they were just normal teenage communication. You know, she not being happy with him for some of the boundaries he was placing, that there wasn't good communication. And he was just saying, so what am I supposed to do at this point? And now I didn't have a teenage daughter at that time. So I was also in one of those places where I was over my head. And so I just, at one point, looked at him and said, well, have you prayed with her about this? Thinking that shouldn't be a big deal. He prays at board meetings. I've watched him pray. I've watched her lead prayer in her small group. You would have thought that I had just spoken a foreign language, because he just looked at me and I was just like, are you serious? You've never? He's like, we don't pray together. We've never done that. And I'm like, well, do you maybe want to try that? Maybe you at the end of the day, just go in and say, you know, I'm sorry we had a tough day today. Can we just pray together before we close this out? And, you know, and he started implementing that. I said it was really scary. And the first time, what I've always learned too with parents is you got to do it with them the first time. So when his daughter got home after school, I was there with them, and we just talked about that. You guys are going to have issues like this. That is normal. That's not dysfunction. That's functional. You're going to have communication issues. You're going to have times like this. But what's not normal or what's dysfunctional is if you don't talk about it and if you don't pray through it afterwards. And what we need to do is help get you to a functional place of, let's try praying this. And here's a few different ways you can pray together.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting because we talk about that in marriage all the time, that, you know, even though there's low-level anger, bitterness, or whatever, you know, if you pray together, it's going to really make a difference. It's the same with our kids. And so that's one step. There's one last thing. We don't have much time left for this particular segment, but you talk about the family blessing. That's a big deal to you. Help us understand how we can begin to institute a family blessing in our home.
You know, it was just taught to me when my daughter was three. And my church was a Faith at Home focused church that I was serving, and they took it serious that parents don't know how to do these things. And so in a one-hour class, they motivated it, modeled it, practiced, and provided for us a way so that we could see the what it looks like to bless your kid in your own home. It was a parent that was in his 50s. His daughter was in college now, but he talked about how he had been blessing her since she was an infant. He and his wife, they had blessed her every night, went into the room. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. We love you. Amen. Every night they would pray that blessing over her. Prayed it as she was 10 years old, prayed it as a teenager. He said, as a teenager, we debated stopping during those teenage years, but he said, we decided to press on. He said, I must confess to you that a lot of times as she was a teenager, we'd wait till she was already asleep, and then we'd go into her room and we'd pray this blessing over her. And he said, she'd wake up at times and just smile. But he said, when the rubber hit the road for them was when they took her to college, and then they had dropped her off for college, set up her dorm room, had a tearful goodbye, and then they left. He and his wife were across the parking lot halfway to their car, and then that's when their daughter came running down the steps to them saying, Mom, Dad, you can't go yet. Wait. And they were just like, what is this? They thought something was wrong. They thought they had forgotten something. They turn around, and then she comes up to him and says, you can't leave yet. You forgot to bless me. And he said, and when he told us that story about how they huddled up in that crowded college campus parking lot with his 18-year-old daughter, and he's like, and we prayed that blessing over her. Then he looked us all in the eyes as parents of three-year-olds and said, I just want to encourage you. They grow up quick. You may want to consider doing this now. And we went home, and they gave us a book on how to bless your kids. They gave us everything we needed. We went home, and we have been blessing our daughter ever since. And my daughter's now 13, and before I travel and speak anywhere, the thing that she does for me is she will lay her hands on me and say, Daddy, before you go, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Love you, Daddy. Amen. You know, that it's that easy. And it was one simple thing that a church took serious that taught us how to do it. And yet it's going to have a generational impact, because that's going to be her norm now. She's growing up with that as normal. Imagine what's going to happen when she has kids of her own. It's not even going to be a question for her to bless, you know, our grandkids, which I'm not ready to think of her having because she's 13. But right. But you know what I'm saying is it's as simple as that. And I think sometimes as parents, we feel so overwhelmed and we're like, now what else do I have to try to do or change? And I think what we have to do a better job is saying it's not that hard to bring Christ and Christ-like living back into your home. It's a 2-degree change that is going to make a long-term impact.
Boy, that is so key. Thank you for being with us. You got to come back because we've got to keep continuing this conversation.
Great discussion today here on the Homeward Broadcast. So glad you could be a part of it. You've been listening to part one of Dr. Jim Burns' 2-part conversation with Mark Holman. Filling Your Home with Faith has been our theme. Mark is the author of the book Building Faith at Home, which is a book Dr. Jim Burns recommends. And a book that we are recommending today here at Homeward is a book that Dr. Jim Burns has written called 10 Building Blocks for a Solid Family, and also another one, Faith Conversations for Families. These are two resources that you can start using in your home right now, you and your spouse, or if you're a single parent, if you're co-parenting. These are principles that you can use in your home with your kids to help pass along faith, because that's the way God does this. He passes it from one generation to the next through us, and so we need to be intentional. There are resources that we can use, and these are books that you can take advantage of. If you'd like to learn more about ordering information for any of the books that Dr. Jim Burns has written over the years, you want to visit our online resource center today at homeward.com. You can order directly there or find them at your favorite Christian bookstore or wherever Christian books are sold. But check us out online at homewo.com. homeward.org.
Well, please know how much we appreciate your prayers and your ongoing financial support of Homeward. You can give a gift through our secure website at homeward.com. You can also mail your tax-deductible donation to Homeward, Post Office Box 1600, San Juan Capistrano, California, 92693. You can also friend me on Facebook, and if you'd like to follow me on Twitter, you can now get my tweets, 140 characters of positive words about parenting, marriage, and faith. Until next time, I'm Jim Burns. Thanks for tuning in today to Homeward.
Homeward with Jim Burns is a production of the Homeward Center for Youth and Family at Azusa Pacific University.